No. Yeah, so my directness weeds out nonsense and attracts greatness. My clients would never even think like that. No. So I only work with people that have visionary abundance investment mindset, visionary abundance investment. So with those three attributes, you can only be one of two types of people. One, you're running a high six-figure to 10-figure business, US dollars. You see your family and friends whenever you want to, and you do what you like to do and what you're good at, or you're going to be one of those people.
Welcome to the Drive to Succeed podcast.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Drive to Succeed podcast. If it's your first time tuning in today, my name is Daniel, the host of the show. This podcast exists to bring you new knowledge, wisdom, and truth in the world of entrepreneurship and self-development. Today's guest is the CEO of PR firm Repic Communications and author of the number one international best-selling book, Epic Business. He's a 20-year veteran in the media industry who worked as a journalist and had interviewed 10,000-plus people throughout his career and now works with the world's top thinkers and top-level entrepreneurs in the world. Justin is hardwired to seek out and create viral, thought-provoking stories that the media craves and the general public cares about. In this episode, we cover how he used the power of real relationships and built his company globally with zero business background. What's the difference between PR and journalism? And shared his ethos on how he eliminates the noise and publishes newsworthy stories that builds validity and credibility for the clients he works with. What is the best platform to be in today's media landscape and many more? Before I send you off, make sure to share this episode to someone who wanted to build their business on a global scale, learn to leverage the power of real relationships for their business, and someone who cares about truth, trust, and transparency. If it's your first time here and if you haven't yet subscribe to the Drive to Succeed podcast in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Click that subscribe button right now and leave us a review if you enjoy this. Now, without further delay, let's welcome the one and only Justin Breen.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think we're 12-hour difference. I'm in Chicago and you're in Dubai. I think it's 12 hours maybe.
I think so.
And so it's good to talk to someone in the future. Always interested talking to someone way across the world because they can tell me what's going on 12 hours ahead of me.
Absolutely. So the reason I connected with you is I know that right now, especially in the media landscape, most businesses look at it more on the global scale rather than the local scale. Because, you know, when the pandemic started, most businesses would like to reach or expand further rather than the local. So as a journalist for 20 years yourself, can you give us a little bit of context about your story? How did you get started?
Yeah, so first I'm a dad. It was my 8-year-old. He just woke up. It was my son, Jake. He started this. I'll talk to you in a minute, okay? But right, so the best part of being an entrepreneur is that I'm a dad. I can see my kids whenever I want to. My 6-year-old just woke up as well. So it's kind of fun. But, a story has no limits. And I was a journalist for 20 years and created my entire business model based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years. I have no idea what PR firms do other than annoy journalists. I've never understood it. So I'm an entrepreneur who happens to be a journalist. I'm not a journalist who's a journalist. I'm not a PR agency owner. An entrepreneur who happens to be a journalist. So there's a very big distinction there. And so as technology gets smaller and smaller and things get faster and faster, there's two constants that will always stay the same. One is the power of real relationships, which is how I created a global company in 4 years with zero business background, real relationships, real ones. And then two, while that actually happens. Why was it meaningless to me unless it happens? And then two is the power of storytelling. So whether it's cave paintings, hieroglyphics, smoke signals, Bible, whatever, we're a world of storytelling, not a local of storytelling, a world. I just thrive in those two areas, real relationships and storytelling.
Interesting. And one of the things that you mentioned there is that you don't really know what a PR agency is. Is that what I heard correctly?
Yeah, no idea.
So the question is, because now you are in PR, what was the difference between journalism and PR?
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between church and state? I mean, what's the difference between, what's the difference between advertising and journalism? It's endless difference. I mean, Right. So again, I'm an entrepreneur who happens to be a journalist. And so as a journalist, you're annoyed hundreds of times a day by people you don't know who are sending you useless press releases. So I created a solution to that problem, solved the problem, successful global company. That's the difference.
And is that entrepreneurship or entrepreneurial spirit came by choice? Because I assume it's 20 years that you're in the journalist and you love it, obviously. Why start now, or why, you know, separate from yourself from that?
Yeah, so I was born to be the highest performing entrepreneur on the planet. Most people can't do this because if they could, they would do this. If they could see their families whenever they want to, you know, make as much money as they want to, only work with the top thinking people in the world or the ones who will make the investment to do so, they would do that. They would do that, but most people can't do this. And so with that background, I was born to be this person, and I just found out I was this person after my job salary was cut in half. I couldn't find a job, reached out to 5,000 people to find my first 5 clients.
Wow.
So wow, it actually happened. Wow is meaningless to me unless it happens. Most people stop at wow and then they never make it happen. That's my point. The highest performing entrepreneur in the world will take wow and actually make it happen. That's the difference. That's like the difference between PR and journalism. It's the ultimate difference. And so while I was working full-time at half the salary, reached out to 5,000 people. So 1 out of 1,000 said yes, 999 no's for every yes, and got the 5th client, resigned from my job. And then Robert Feeder, he's the top media columnist in the Midwest of the United States, did a story at the start of my own firm. So that was February 10th, 2017 to June 5th, 2017. So coming up on the 4-year anniversary of that article. And again, most people can't do that, but, and that's fine. The world needs more integrators and visionaries, but the highest performing entrepreneur in the world, they will wow, then they'll make it happen. They will do whatever it takes to make it happen.
Yes. Yes. And out of that 4 years starting your own business, what is the biggest lesson you've learned so far? And obviously for the past maybe 16 months as well, there probably might be bigger realization as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, you saw it with my 8-year-old trying to interrupt me. Family first. I mean, there's it's family first. So all this other stuff's meaningless without family. It's meaningless, or friendships, or real relationships. so it was funny that my 8-year-old came in on that. I wish I could hear him, but I have sound reduction earphones, so I literally have no idea what he said. It'd be interesting to re-listen to this to see what he's asking me. But my 8-year-old started his first business when he was 7.
Wow.
And I have him in this. Wow, that actually happens. I will keep saying that. So, and he, I enrolled him in this global entrepreneurial educational platform that Elon Musk had one of his friends start. It's called Synthesis.is. And because he's, you know, bored with regular school, so he needs to. And then my 6-year-old. He'll be in that as well, because they need a different type of education. So that's the best part about being an entrepreneur. But, you know, really to simplify everything is that if you have the right mindset, it creates the right network and it creates the right opportunities. So first 4 years, that's the biggest lesson. Last 16 months, that's the biggest lesson. I mean, entrepreneurs at the highest level, this is the last 16 months has been the greatest opportunity of all time. And that's what's happened for me and my firm as well.
Thank you so much. And just a quick question. I know in some of your interviews, you mentioned that you work with clients, you know, globally as well. Do you have like partners, or how does it work? Because I know maybe some, you know, national journalist or certain national media outlets know you, but how does it work? Let's say for a client in, I don't know, Spain or Europe, or, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, so the formula for building a successful global company is you see a problem, create solution to problem solve, successful global company. So journalist for 20 years, created my entire business model based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years. So saw a problem, created solution, problem solve, successful global company. So it doesn't matter where you're located, it doesn't matter what industry it's in, it doesn't matter how big the company, that's meaningless. That's just landing the plane stuff. My company just solves the problem. So clients all over the world and journalists know the difference between a glad-handing BS PR firm owner and an entrepreneur who happens to be a journalist. So, and, you know, when my firm reaches out to them, they will do their research on who it is. And they'll be like, oh, this person's an entrepreneur who happens to be a journalist. So they're more liable to do the, more willing to do the story. And then my firm's stories actually serve the journalist, not the client. Byproduct is the client serves. So PR firms, they serve the client. They don't serve the journalist. That's the big difference.
is there, like you mentioned, there's a lot of BS happening, and some articles that you might read, like in Forbes or, you know, other like major publications, some of people doesn't know that most of them like are paid, or even not paid, maybe they're being supported because of, you know.
Yeah, that's I mean, I don't know if I can swear, but those are bullshit.
Understood. And in your opinion, still in the PR, what is the best platform to be in? What's your approach on that?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because this is an actual example of it, and I don't say anything unless there's meat behind it. Talk is meaningless to me without execution or actually knowing what you're talking about. So if you ask me how to build something, I have no idea. If my kids ask me to put a bike helmet on them, I go ask your mom, because I'm not good at that. Things a monkey can do, I can't really do them. I'm just useless. But at this, I actually know what I'm talking about. And so I've seen this from a firsthand perspective and from a client perspective. Firsthand perspective, because of my book, I've, you know, been in media hundreds of times since that came out last year. And then from a client perspective, and just this is, you know, this is the purpose of my life, is doing this. So I just see it every day. So podcasts are replacing mainstream media for three main reasons. Because I'm a simplifier and I see patterns. That's how my brain works. I just hear blah, 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 simplify pattern. Good. So the three reasons are: one, the host is usually an entrepreneur, not a journalist. So they're coming from a place of abundance, not scarcity. Okay, very big difference. Very big difference. Two, you can do a deep dive on someone, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. So you really get to know the person and the host. It's not a drive-by interview like on TV or radio. Yep. You don't really get to know anyone. Okay. And three, this is the most important that I've seen, again, from a firsthand perspective and a client perspective. Three, the audience might not be as large quantity-wise, but it's a far more qualified audience. So maybe there's 100 listeners, but it's the right 100. A regular human's probably not going to listen to this, because why would they care? But a high-performing entrepreneur would.
Yeah.
So it just simplifies all this nonsense. And so I have clients, you know, that are in Forbes and Inc. and Entrepreneur Magazine and Wall Street Journal and all that. And that's fine. That's great. But podcasts are replacing those platforms because of those three reasons. And all podcasts are, to simplify the simplification, they're just a transactional, transformational platform for entrepreneurs. That's what podcasts are.
Interesting. So would you say that you have developed like good relationships with podcasts or even podcast networks that you bring your clients into?
Well, that's a good question, because somehow, because of my book, and again, I've seen this from a firsthand perspective and a client perspective, the book is all it is a key. It's just a key. It's opened up endless doors. And for some reason, it's fine. And it's great. This is probably another example. The hosts want to interview me first, and then they want to interview all my clients, because I only work with the top thinking people on the planet, or the ones that will make the investment to do so. So there's no nickel and dime businesses. There's no local. There's high level top visionaries. And so then they want to interview my firm's clients. So it's everybody wins, because the podcasts are a transactional, transformational platform for entrepreneurs. And it will continue to evolve in that way. There's no doubt about that. I mean, mainstream media slashed and burned. And the result of that is podcasts are, you know, becoming more and more important. But also journalists are going to have to become more entrepreneurial and create their own entities. I mean, that's basically what I did. You know, I had job salary cut in half, created my own. It's really a journalism entity. It's not really a PR firm. That's really what this is.
Interesting. And you mentioned about like some podcast hosts wanted to work with your clients and all that. Is there a way, because I know when it comes to like PR firms, when what they tend to do is when they have a story, they tend to, you know, like you mentioned, blast it to journalists and annoy the hell out of them. But for you, when you work on, let's say, a certain media outlet, is there a way, because I'm sure there's no 100% that, you know, this outlet will accept whatever story you.
Of course not. No. And yeah, that's so bad. Right. So that's what I always laugh, because PR firms, they guarantee things. There's no guarantee. Now, that said, I'll never work with anyone where they didn't have a good story. That, I mean, I know that the stories that my firm does, they'll be picked up by a ton of outlets. Why? Because they're serving the journalist, not the client. So the journalists actually thank me for sending them stories, because they're actually doing them a favor. They're saving them time. Yeah, that's a big difference.
I said, and do you have like a way or process for you to go out to stores? Because I know maybe some of the clients that you may have might not be open up to share their story or this side of the story.
No. Yeah, so my directness weeds out nonsense and attracts greatness. They're my clients would never even think like that. No. So I only work with people that have visionary abundance investment mindset, visionary abundance investment. So with those three attributes, you can only be one of two types of people. One, you're running a high six-figure to 10-figure business, U.S. dollars. You see your family and friends whenever you want to, and you do what you like to do and what you're good at, or you're going to be one of those people. You're not there revenue-wise, but you will be. So there's no what do you cost or charge, there's no nickel and diming, there's no schemes. And without exception, all of those people have incredible stories and they want to share their stories with the world. Why? Because their stories are very powerful. And there's no. Opposite of what you just said. It's the opposite of that.
All right. And also you mentioned you have a book, Epic Business, which is, you know, born when people, I think it was supposed to be a blog or a social media post or something, but they told you to...
Good research.
Thank you. And you mentioned that, you know, they told you to make it like a proper book instead. I haven't read the book yet, but for our audience who was just, you know, hearing your name for the first time, can you give us a little bit of golden nuggets inside that book?
Yeah, so that's good research. That's a deep dive. I don't know if you've done your Colby, but you're a high fact finder. Colby, K-O-L-B-E. Yeah, that's the top test for entrepreneurs in the world. So if you take that, send me your score. It's $55. It takes 20 minutes. So and I've done hundreds of interviews. Most folks do not know the backstory of how that became a book. So that's, I'm very impressed by that. As a journalist, I've interviewed 10,000 plus people. So I always do background research like that. So that's impressive that you did that. I'm impressed by that. But I'm actually very low on ideation and strength finders. So there's 34 strength finders. I'm 32 in ideation. So I don't have a lot of good ideas. But if I have a good one, execute at the highest level. Top five strength finders or top three are activate, maximize, achieve. So result. Boom, boom, boom. And so on that social media post, when was that? October 16th, 2019. I posted 30 things I had learned in my company's first 30 months. From the top entrepreneurs in the world. And so, like you said, people were like, oh, you have to write a book. So, okay, wrote a book. So it's an international bestseller in six countries and petting my dog here. And Chris Voss, who wrote Never Split the Difference, did the foreword. So anyone who knows anything about anything knows who Chris Voss is. So that's a differentiator. And so I just did it. Just wrote the book. And so I guess of those 30 lessons, number one is do what you like to do and what you're good at. So the purpose of my life is to be a connecting superhero for every visionary abundance investment mindset entrepreneur and share their stories with the world. And all these folks have great stories. So if I'm not hanging out with my family or my 8-year-old and 6-year-old and my dog is coming into this interview, and if I'm not doing that, I don't think my wife will come into this interview. She might. But I doubt it. She knows my space, but she might. So if not doing that, that's 100% of my day is doing the purpose of my life. No deviation. So none of this has worked for me at all. None of it. It's easy for me. It's fun.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And also, yep. If you're not writing stories, pitching media outlets, or working with a client, do you have a hobby? What do you do?
Well, you saw my children. My kids are in soccer or football and baseball. You know, before COVID, I spent more time with my children than any dad I'd ever met. Now I spend even more time with them. So I don't think that's a hobby per se, but, I run 6 times a week outside no matter the weather condition. So we live near Chicago, so it gets very cold here in the winter. Mm-hmm. And very, very hot in the summer. Not as hot as Dubai, but hot. And so doesn't matter. I will run outside no matter. I've done that for 15 plus years. So.
Well, as we reach towards the end of the podcast, where can people find you? How can they know about your work? What are the type of people you're looking for?
Right. So the way I communicate, the reason why I'm so direct is because people who get it, they'll reach out. And then the ones who have no idea what I'm talking about, they won't. And that's fine. But again, I only partner with people with visionary abundance investment mindset, period. That's it. And so Justin Breen on LinkedIn, which is how you found me. And again, just a magnet. And then the company's called Brepik. So, and books all over the world, Epic Business. So.
And also, before my last and final question, I just want to acknowledge you for showing up on time, although it's 7:30 in the morning in Chicago. And thank you so much for, you know, gracing us with your story as well. I know we could have deep dive in more and share more details, but is there any questions you wish that I could have asked you?
So that's so interesting. You're an entrepreneur that happens to be a journalist, or you have a journalist brain. So the question I always ask, that's so interesting, because when I interview folks, again, thousands of people, there's only two questions I ask, always, without exception. The first one I almost always ask is, who are your parents? Where did they come from? Because if you know where you come from, you know where you are, and then you know where you're going, but it starts with knowing where you come from. So I always ask that. And then two, the last question I always ask, is there anything else that you'd like to add, something that would be good for the story? Just basically what you just asked. Mm-hmm. And the reason I ask that is because many times people want to say something, but they were never asked in the way where they can say it. Yeah. That open-end question allows them to answer that. So I'm giving you that background because that's always a good way to end an interview. And it's very rare in a podcast format. And like a regular journalism interview, it's a good way to do it, but it's a little different in a podcast. But to answer it, my father was 61 when I was born, and so he'd be 105 if he was alive now. And he was a World War II hero. He was shot down 9 times in combat. Great man. No excuses. Who knew? No. No excuses. Only execution. No excuses. And so he died when I was 13. And he lived just long enough, where his advice sunk in. So he would say all the time, the cream rises to the top, the cream rises to the top, the cream rises to the top. So that sunk in because I was, 13. I got just enough of that. And so my firm and I only partner with the cream that rises to the top are the people that will make the investment to do it. That's it. So it's because of my dad.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And my last and final question to you, Justin, if everything is stripped away from you, maybe in the next 5 years, you gotta start.
Say that again. If
everything is a strip away from you, maybe in the next five, a strip away. So let's say you build a massive business, you're working globally with epic clients, you release all the books, and you got to start all over again.
Right.
What would be your main drive to succeed?
Right. So that's a good question. Right. So the top entrepreneurs in the world never stop striving. So, I will never be satisfied, not because I'm not satisfied, but because there's cooler and cooler things out there. So, I just launched a second company with a business partner. He's in San Francisco. He's in a strategic coach with me. It's a top entrepreneurial group in the world. I'm very confident saying that. Very confident. And so we just launched a business that's basically the highest connectivity platform in the world. It's invite-only, high price point. So basically, it's technology for my brain. So just starting to work on that. But, I'll just keep evolving. That's the fun part of all this. I just started my first company 4 years ago with zero business background. Now I have a global company that only works with the top people in the world. And it just started. So it'll be exciting to see how it evolves. And I'm very thankful and grateful for that, but there's no stagnation. There's no lifestyle. there's always there's a test called PRINT, P-R-I-N-T, P-R-I-N-T. It's a really good test. It tells you your unconscious motivators. People see the tip of the iceberg, but they don't see the under the water, the majority of the iceberg. So that tells you your unconscious motivators, and my two main unconscious motivators are to be strong and self-reliant and to succeed and achieve. So unconsciously, I'm constantly motivated to be strong and self-reliant to succeed and achieve, no matter how much success. Doesn't matter, that's meaningless. always will be strong and self-reliant to succeed in it. Yeah.
Wow. And I believe as well that maybe it's innate from you because you grew up with a father who has a strong mindset that was passed on.
It's in my blood at the highest level. Right. Yeah. And my mom was 27 when I was born. So when my dad was in his late 50s, a drunk driver was driving on the highway. A drunk driver went across the median and hit him head on. And the drunk driver was killed instantly. My dad survived because you figure it out. And so my mom was his nurse. So my mom literally nursed him back to health. And most of my days talking to the world's top entrepreneurs, like the very top people, are the ones who will get there. And I've never met anyone in my life with more hustle than my mom in my entire life. And so I'm just the combination of that. And it's definitely, I mean, my dad, of course, but I used to think I had nothing in common with my mom, except we like butter and ice cream. Like we really like butter and ice cream a lot. But I used to think I had nothing in common with her. And then I started this business. I'm like, oh, okay. This is where I get my hustle from, like really high level hustle. Yes. It's just my mom. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Justin, for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to pause for a quick moment to ask for your help to help us improve the Drive to Succeed podcast. If you could fill up a 1 to 2 minute survey to know what are the topics that are important to you, the type of guests you wanted us to feature in this podcast, because it would really help us curate and elevate and deliver the audio experience you wanted, the things that are relevant to your needs moving forward. The survey can be found on thedrivetosucceed.com/survey. Again, the website is thedrivetosucceed.com/survey. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this with your friends. It would really mean the world to me because every post, every share, every stories that you create with the Drive to Succeed really helps expanding its reach even further. And only then we can multiply our impact. The people who are listening, the people who are writing their notes, the people who are learning from this podcast will definitely change their life one episode at a time. So wherever part of the world you are in today, thank you again so much for listening. Stay safe and God bless.